You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You know, when I heard they were going to be switching sleeves constantly in this series, I was a little bit concerned, and then I found out the dirty stuff's only half the show. You know, the rest of it's just killing and people's brains and really, really fancy jewelry that you stick in your neck, which I think we're already halfway there.
We are. We're very close.
I mean, that's true.
Somebody else
becomes Anthony Mackie, and you're like, I mean, that's a fair choice. I think I'd go for that.
Yeah, I mean,
no, yeah, the new Sam Wilson skin, I'll take it.
So I don't know, she was not into it.
Now that being said, never hire Anthony Mackie. Why do I say his name like that? Never hire Sam Wilson to protect you, because he fucking sucks at it.
I mean, he's pretty good at it. He just, you know, keeps getting fucked over by situation.
He goes into a room, tells people, hey man, you people are in danger. You guys chill here. I'm going to take care of this. The person uses him as a battering ram to get to his door to kill those people.
The person didn't know they were in there. These guys just like stared through the windows after they cracked like it was an old like 60s comedy. And we're like, oh, what should we do? Let's run towards the bad guy. It's like, this isn't a Jackie Chan movie. This person's actually going to kill you. It's like, stop.
Yeah.
They did those spinny leg things where it's like whoa, whoa, whoa.
The stacks as well. I think that made it a lot more took the stakes up a little even higher than the last season.
Oh god. Well,
yeah, there's no Dragon Ball save you now.
This is Greener Squad talking about season 2 of Altered Carbon. That's the season that Doggett actually watched. Because if we don't give each other a hard time, how do you know you're listening to One of Us?
Well, I really wanted to experience. How do I say this? I was more interested in watching Anthony Mackie. Damn it! I am more interested in watching Sam. I am more interested in watching Anthony Mackie than I was watching Joel Kinnaman.
Pronounce Anthony Mackie. But yeah. So as I said, Doggett is here, as you can hear. I'm Ben.
And I'm Zoma.
Yeah. So who wants to talk about what this season's about? Because I definitely know it's different from the first one, and I think that's going to be the more bigger drive for a lot of people who didn't like the first one, which is a fair bit.
Captain America's dead. Sam Wilson has to goes into the future, kind of, and no, I'm not gonna do this. Why don't you guys do this?
Yeah, I suppose.
I can get into it there. So basically, yeah, where we left off at the end of the first season was Joel Kinnaman was Takashi Kovacs.
Yeah.
Kovacs. They say it pronounced in a lot of different ways. It's a Polish last name.
Yeah, Kovacs.
Okay, but yeah, so he was leaving to try to find his long lost love. Kel Crest Falconer, who was the leader of the revolution that he kind of abandoned the oppressive interstellar government for, and had thought she was dead, but turns out she's alive. So he's gone out of this adventure. We find it's been roughly 30 years since then, maybe more. He's still got Poe with him, who we all thought was dead, which was his AI, hotel companion in the first season. And basically they're here to find her. Mostly because they got called and say, hey, I have a connection about her, but I need you to save me. And the second he gets there, everyone in the room is dead, which is what we were joking about earlier. And basically like, oh, well, this is all fucked. Let's just get moving and find out what we can. And slowly but surely it comes to pass that somebody is in Kel's sleeve. At very least, somebody's in her sleeve. They're not sure if it's her, but it's definitely a clone of her body, which is generally outlawed everywhere. So it's a big mystery about who that is at first, and it kind of progresses through that season about their relationship even further and about what their connection actually means and, you know, and how much that goes. I mean, I won't get into much more spoiler than that, I think.
Yeah, that is for, yeah.
Well, yeah, like in this season, the show opens up with Takashi, right? Talk. The show opens up with Talk taking the body of Eugene from the Try Guys.
which is kind of perfect. And it's also a really great way as a primer for people like yourself, Dogged, who hasn't seen the first season, to kind of get that mentality.
Yeah, this the show, like, bodies are just bodies. They're they really are just skins you can buy.
It's how good your Steve is. It's how either your patron is, or how rich you are, wealthy you are.
Yeah, like, I would have, like, a Chris Rock skin, and somebody better than me would have a Denzel Washington skin.
I don't want to do too much spoilers, but how helped me in the first season, because we always hear in flashbacks, it seems like a... She's like a god, or she's a mythology. Well, now she seems, this season made her more like a real person, somebody more complex than just somebody who's just a revolutionary. Yeah, more than a martyr.
That
works very well as a dichotomy between the two seasons, since that last season is very much third manning her with, you know, talks and remembrance of her and idolizing of her and love for her. And this season does have to address that more. I will say Anthony Mackie, I think, is a fantastic casting choice for this, because the dude is a really good actor, and he can also do the action phenomenally. I like to think he at least did most of these stunts himself.
Yeah, if I'm going to stare at somebody stare blankly out a window, it will be Anthony Mackie.
Talk how Joel Kinnaman did it, and how Anthony Mackie was, like, how Anthony Mackie made it his own. And I think kind of made it, you know, I think, I like how he made it his own, and he was, you know, still recognizable, but something was very, very different at the same time.
Yeah, this season follows a lot more of an action adventure, but kind of like heavy dramatic adventure type of thing. Like, think of like this one, like, there's the jokes in the first season that it was very much Blade Runner with more action. This is actually Blade Runner with more action as far as the Blade Runner universe. The first season, so much more neo-noir mystery like Blade Runner with some action ramped up. And this is just kind of a straight action adventure in that world. One thing we want to touch on is the wealthy people. They get called Meths in this universe. Evidently, it's a reference to Methuselah, which I don't know why they all took that on, because everybody, including the rich Meths, seemed to call themselves Meths. And I'm like, look, if all the poor people call you Methuselah as like a half slagging you off, why would you take that name?
That's true,
Well, it's like how you can't actually give a white person a slur, they just like they just eat that shit up. I can't call somebody a honky and like see a hurt in their eye, it just rolls off their sleeves.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's also like, oh yeah, that's the name you give to people that are better than you. Yeah, say it appropriately.
Just call white people cucks, you know? It basically just works. Well, I mean, or no, it was Cox, because it's Caucasian. Just call him Cox. They'll hate it. It's perfect. But we're getting away from the show, which I do think is actually really good. I love the first season. I know, as I said, some people didn't. I could have sworn Chris did, but he claims he did not now. But this season, I think by taking a different turn, and the fact that the show follows a trend, and evidently the books do as well, of being able to have a different skin for Talk every, you know, time they change over, or a different sleeve, allows you to tell a different story if you want to. And I kind of love that they just took that idea and ran with it. I'm pretty sure it's the same showrunners even from the first season, which is pretty great to see.
Yeah, I was actually, I was worried, because I actually really loved the first season, and I was worried about, how Anthony, basically all the, changing the actors and everything ever being new. But I liked how we have some the same people, probably because of, Poe and Faulkner, but the people, the changes kind of made, the changes that actors made sense within this new story. And I like how they recreated the story, so it doesn't feel like you're like seeing a lesser version of the first season. So you're seeing a second season, and that's just this almost like a whole new show in a way.
Yeah.
So was like the first season, was it slower than this? Was it like did it spend a lot more time getting you used to this like hardcore sci-fi world or something?
It was a film noir. It was a lot like a mystery. It was a lot more.
Well, it is a murder mystery.
It was a murder mystery. So it felt very, it was more like a detective work, and a lot, and in a way, a lot darker.
Like this, like when this show came out, I was kept on confusing it with that Paul Rudd terrible. Movie that was also on Netflix.
Yeah, no. So basically, season one rolls up with Talk has been on ice for like 100 to 200 years. He gets out and gets given the body of Joel Kinnaman, and basically told, "Hey, this Meth wants to talk to you. He's the one who paid for you to get out and get this body. As he gets up there, the Meth goes, I took you off ice to find out who killed me. Somebody murdered me in my own home, and I'm in a rate, and, you know, I lost like X amount of my memory because of that, because they have saved, you know, backups. And basically it becomes that murder mystery where he doesn't want to work with him, but he wants the ability to get his freedom back and kind of just be let out on his own, which is kind of what this is all setting up. And it is, I wouldn't say slower. I think this season even does have at times a methodical pace, sometimes to its detriment, sometimes to its benefit. That season was, I'd say, very much the same, and maybe just a little bit the murder mystery worked better with that pacing. Yeah. But I don't think this season was hurt all too much by its pacing either. I think it just, you know, it just still wasn't the strongest part of it.
No, I agree, yeah.
Well, yeah, like, after like, a scene ends, you know, Anthony Mackie's by himself. He's staring outside a window, and he's just thinking to himself, man, I kicked a lot of ass today. He's got to contemplate his upgrades.
The only character that they brought back with the same actor this season, at least as a full character, there's other cameos that happen that I won't spoil, was bringing back Poe, played by Chris Connor, who I think was fantastic both last season and this season. I think last season everybody was just like, who is this guy? Why didn't we know him? He's so much fun as Poe. We like him. And I think they basically said, we have to find a way to bring him back. And they gave him so much more to do in this season. He's such a more fleshed out character. I kind of love that.
Yeah. And also, I mean...
Well, he played Chris Rock's character from Harlem Nights, where he's just like, please, I don't want to die.
Just like,
she's
had more of a good role this time
than
that season.
No, good point. She's more of a important character than the narrative.
A character. Yeah, she's more of a character. Well, this one is more of, in the first season, it's more of an, like, kind of like a, as you said before, like a martyr. So maybe it was just in flashback in small scenes.
What did you all feel about the bounty hunter character?
I think she was kind Misty of awesome. Knight. Like, she definitely held up her own on the, you know, being a badass in this world. She's one of those people that, you know, can hold her own against Tok, or at least, you know, with him in verbal and physical sparring on occasion. And the show kind of does need people like that who aren't just, I was trained to be the envoy or a envoy. Yeah. It's like, no, some people can just be badasses in the world.
Yeah, I liked how she got her own storyline, and then. And there were times when she was with Tok, but there's also a lot of times when she was on her own doing her own thing, and I like that. And we got a break and got a new kind of character that was very different from everybody else.
Man, being a Netflix actor must be so great. They really take. I'm not gonna make outlandish statements, but it seems like they give their actors plenty of work.
The other character that I wanted to bring up, as far as a great, strong, newer character, was Dana Shihabi, who played Dig. I thought she was really great in that character, who, you know, got to show a lot of that range. I hadn't known her from anything else. I guess she was in Jack Ryan, but she was, you know, Dig is another AI that works with Poe, and there's a great bit of, like, her hardened edge and just kind of her inquisitive nature and kind of trying to analyze, because Poe's a really weird AI when you break down what the AI are in this universe. And I kind of love that they gave him both kind of a foil and a supporting character in that way, so his arc got to kind of be fleshed out more.
Yeah, I was really invested in Dig. Like, for a minute there, I thought she might be, like, gone. I'm like, oh, no. So once he came back at the end, I was like, yes. So I feel like she was somebody I was really invested in, and, like, what happened to her.
Yeah, I really...
Man, I wish I could have been there. I could have heard Paloma say no.
No spoilers about it, but I will say, like, the way they built up to it with a closing monologue that kind of worked in one way, and then just the way they set up that whole last scene was a lot of beautiful set dressing for what it needed to be, and then a really fun way to leave a cliffhanger, to leave themselves open for at least a potential season next season. They haven't said if they're trying for it yet, and there's times when it felt like they might not be, which I also appreciated. I really did have a question on that, because Netflix can let you keep guessing like that.
I think this could be the end, or this could be, you know, there could be another chapter. I think it's, they would be their endings open to possible.
Yes.
Yeah, it is based on a book series. Well,
was this based on a book series?
I can look it up right now.
How many books are there?
That's a good question, because I don't even know if they're following the books that closely here.
Yeah, me neither, because I haven't read them, so I don't know.
I mean, for all we know, like, this first season was all six books, and there you go.
Lost
is original. Right, I don't know. I don't know anything about this show.
Let's see.
Probably a handful.
Yeah, it's like, does this show have, like, a big following? Like, are there a lot of book fans hammering for this? Or was this like, a lot of people's introduction to this property?
Well, there's at least four.
Okay.
I'm just going into the until I see no more. So let's see. There's at least four. There's a bunch. There's four or five of them. It seems like.
All right, maybe so we get four seasons out of this.
The first book. It does seem like the first book is pretty close to the first season. I'm already seeing some differences, but so at least it's a little bit close.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a couple changes because you know. Almost impossible to really adapt fully into the screen. You have to change things to make sense to time-wise.
I feel like the season overall, just like last season, you know, despite some of that times where it does hang on some things maybe a little bit long, but it's still a fairly tight season. Like, I didn't feel like any episode was just a filler. There might have been a filler episode last season that I can think of, like that first one, that one where they're in the fight cage or whatever. But even still, that came to a good ending for continuing the narrative. This season, I think, was a lot tighter on that. Nothing felt like filler. Nothing felt like somebody just on some adventure. Everything happened because of a narrative reason. It's less serialized. And I kind of appreciate that. The other new-ish character they brought in, I don't want to spoil it too much, was Ivan Carrera, who's played by Toyben Liebrecht, which I got to say, they're kind of keeping very well with the show about the way the world kind of works, where, you know, there's so much mixing of different histories and genealogies where, you know, Tak is, you know, half Japanese, half Polish, and this is a German guy whose character is named Ivan Carrera. It's like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of weird genealogy here, but he plays the military SeaTac Praetorian, which is the protectorate's, you know, main military branch, who comes in to basically he's trying to control this colony that they're on, but subtly keep control of it. And basically his pack, the Wedge, are just like the main antagonists, because they're just like a super set up soldiers who are super focused. And this guy, like, is a super killer. Like, he says that somebody's like, I'm the guy that they just take off ice whenever they need some heavy lifting done.
Oh, yeah. He's badass. The one who, I don't want to spoil, but yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. His more complex history than just what you're saying, but yeah.
Exactly. I will say his character does have some things that I had a problem with, because there feels like a point in the halfway through that they tried to redeem him almost, where he's trying to like show what he was about. And it doesn't seem to connect at that point, because they haven't given him anything redemptive up to that point. This is like the second to last episode when they do this scene.
Yeah.
And well, I mean, that's the thing, is like, they made it very clear why he's a bad guy early on in this episode and in the show in general. There's some stuff that will connect to him that if you watch the show, you'll know what we're talking about from the first season. And they do like then show more and more things that are just terrible about him until you get to like the second to last episode. There's a moment where he's trying to justify what he did, and he seems like he's supposed to be really earnest and caring about that, you know, in the last three episodes, I guess. But it's like, this is so too little too late. Even in an 8-episode season, this is, you know, maybe 15 minutes of your already like 3 hours on screen where you're finally showing something and it's not helping.
No, I think, you know, so, you know, I think it was kind of, his like a major arc where you have a really hard time really feeling too a sympathy for him, really.
Yeah. Did anyone else also kind of see the arc in the quote unquote twist with Danica Harlan and her father? Governor. I saw that so far in advance.
I kind of didn't see it coming because of the way the relationship was going. I didn't see that coming to some degree. Yeah,
that, and then the final fight scene, the way that ends at the end of the series or season, I also kind of saw that. I'm like, okay, you telegraphed this far.
So did you see the Marvel beam in the light ending coming as well?
I wasn't against it. I didn't feel like I disliked it for that, but it certainly wasn't the most like captivating, original feeling idea to me. But I've talked a lot about it on that. What are you guys thinking on this?
Well, what can I say about this show besides there's a lot of action, Anthony Mackie's sexy as fuck, The guy who played the original Tuck was sexy as fuck. Poe was sexy as fuck.
Well, I was gonna comment on the set of the Trip's son, who I think his name is.
No,
well,
hold on, Paloma. I have a few more characters to say that are sexy as fuck.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
Okay. Misty Knight was sexy as fuck. Dig was sexy as fuck. Okay, I think I'm caught up. Okay, you can go.
Okay, I'm not sure what the son is. I'm trying to figure out what the son. I think the son was. What's the son named for? I got it. Never mind. Whatever the son was named, I think he was a really good device, and I think the fact that it was really interesting at how his he was gonna be like leased almost like leased his skin because his skin had been destroyed and they couldn't afford a new one. So it was kind of a good way of showing why he was so desperate to kind of to do this work and why he was willing to kind of go after Tok even with all the stuff around him. And I think it was a really good device. It kind of made the ending really nice once, you know, when everything kind of works out for everybody. So yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
That's fair enough. I think overall it's a strong season. I think for a lot of people who didn't like the first season, it could correct a lot of those things. I kind of just love where they're taking this, that it could be a series that's a different thing each season and can have its own life. And I kind of, even for its weaknesses, come out of this season loving it because there are some weird things that go on. Like there's a whole thing about potential possession that's not just being in a different person's body that gets really interesting but not bad by the end of the season. It just some of that kind of takes like even your suspension of disbelief is like, oh, that's where the series is going. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know, do you guys want to roll into final thoughts?
Yeah
we can go to final thoughts.
All right, I was kind of rolling into mine already, so I guess I'll just take it here. It's got its issues. It's not... I kind of like first season a little bit better because I'm a huge neo-noir fan. Don't get me wrong. But I love all the new cast. I think Anthony Mackie was great. But I also hope that if they do go to another season that they do have some fun with another interesting actor because they're building up a really interesting universe. And where they left it at the end of this season, if they do continue it, like it can be a fully new, fresh story. And I'm kind of hoping for that. It's not going to be for everyone. It is still roughly 8 hours of television. And if you hated the first season, which I hadn't heard really many people hate it, but just not like it some for some, you may not still like this one because it's still kind of a lot of the same style, but it's moving in a very different pattern. And I really give it props for that. I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10 stack necklaces.
Okay, I preferred the first season. I'm a big film noir fan. I really love film noirs, and I also, you know, love Blade Runner, which is kind of, I really feel like really inspired visually. But I also really love this season. I was worried about all this, you know, a new talk and how I would feel about it, but I think Anthony Mackie made it his own. I liked a lot of the storylines. I think it gave a really good story, and I really love Poe and Dig, and I really love the new character of Trap. There's a lot of really great aspects to it. I didn't feel as invested as I was in the first season, maybe because I like murder mysteries, and this one felt very different and felt like an action film. But I did overall enjoyed it though. I would probably give it 7.5 out of 10. Missing stacks.
Dope. Okay. So I already did my list of the sexy as fuck characters in the show, so I don't really know how to do another rundown. I mean, what can I say about this show besides, for me, it kind of feels like an 80s Arnold Schwarzenegger movie with all the testosterone just not taken out, but like injected in different areas. I think it has a cool gimmick. I'm excited to see if there's a third season. I'm excited to see who takes over the role. Unless is there a chance they're just sticking with Anthony Mackie?
No, they'll change.
Yeah,
for
most
sure.
Definitely.
Oh yeah, but yeah, if you're into hardcore sci-fi, check this out. It's pretty good. The action's great, legit great. What's it called? There's like a circle fight in this season where like it's Anthony Mackie like having to fight different people. That was pretty good, and there's, I felt a little bit like you did, Ben, towards the end with that, with like how a character is taken out. I felt a little bit detached from it, and I don't know if that's a mark against the show. Maybe I think for me, this has problems, but you know, I just jumped in on this and I was invested. I got through it. I actually binged this all like a day and a half. And did that fuck up my brain? I don't know. You ask me. I mean, well, how's the phrase go? Anyways, so my rating for this, it's going to be 7 out of 10 sexiest fuck characters.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm kind of looking forward to see where they can go next. Who do you think should be the next one? Do we get a female talk for the whole season?
Jodie Whittaker.
I think I'm going to give you some ideas.
That would be interesting. Let's see.
Seth Rogen.
It would be interesting to have, like, I mean, I don't think Seth Rogen would do it, but that would be kind of fascinating if she did it. Probably not, though. Or, you know.
Sandra Bullock.
See, what I was thinking is there's just a moment that.
Scarlett Johansson, maybe? I don't know.
I was going to say there's a moment where. You know, somebody threatens.
No, she can't play an Asian character anymore. It doesn't
work.
True.
There's a moment where
right.
somebody threatens someone with receiving them in a dog, and I just think you need the next Air Bud movie starring Takashi Kovacs. It'd be great.